Door-to-door work is what we'll talk about. Door-to-door work is not only door knocking in the sense of surveys that we talked about, but it's actually other aspects like passing out flyers, doing colportering work, in gathering for ADRA. There are many ways you can, like, there's so many ways to do door-to-door work. So door-to-door work is like a broad term, and sometimes we think of it only as doing surveys, but there are many different ways to do it. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 20. Somebody can read that.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
Now, who's doing this? Who's saying this? Jesus. So was Jesus a door knocker? He was. And what was he doing? Well, in verse 18 he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So is he selling stuff at the door? He sure is. And that's the way that he was trying to reach out, at least according to Revelation. And so we know, of course, in his life he also visited homes. He went from house to house. And Paul did the same. He went from house to house. So that's what we are called to do. And why are we called to do that? Well, Jesus said in the Great Commission, what did he say? Did he say, sit and wait till people come drop into your church and then baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit? Or what did he say? Have you memorized it? All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make and teach all nations. So Jesus calls us to go out. And that's what we need to do. We can't stay in our comfort zone if we want to reach people. We need to step out. We need to hit the doors. We need to find people where they're at. And door-to-door work is a very effective way to do that. Acts of the Apostles, page 109, all over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls longing for light, for grace, for the Holy Spirit. Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in. The purpose of door-to-door work is not to change uninterested people into like twisting their arm and getting them to study the Bible. That's not the purpose. The purpose of door-to-door work is to find these sincere seekers. And so if you go door to door and you find a person, then this person just wants to argue, or they think like, oh, it's so good somebody comes to talk to me, and then they sit and talk with you for an hour. That is not God's plan for door to door work necessarily, because probably there are some other people out there that are wistfully looking to heaven, and this person that you found, they're just consuming your time. So, you know, God can use other people to save this person when they're ready, when they're open and sincere. But the purpose of door-to-door work is to find sincere seekers, is to find these people that are honest and looking for, that are on the verge of the kingdom. And believe me, if we focus on these people, these other people will eventually maybe get to that point by God's grace. Door-to-door work is the most effective way to prepare for the ministry. Bible Echo, September 18, 1899, Ellen White says, the young men and women who give evidence that they are truly converted and who take up the canvassing work may consider that this work is the very best preparation for the ministry. The very best preparation for the ministry. If we want to be Bible workers, if we want to be effective ministers in every way that we can be, colportering work or door-to-door work, if you would. Now, colportering is door-to-door work when you sell things, and that's very important too. But I would say doing surveys at the doors, meeting people, it develops you as a person like no other work actually can do. Like you can sit in class like we do here all day, but if you never get out there, and if you never meet people with different mindsets, you will not know really what the man on the streets really, really believes, or what his interests are. So, there is a twofold benefit to going door to door. And I read from the handout that you have, because I didn't have it here. First of all, finding seekers. That's what we're doing. Also, on top of that, of course, we show an interest to people. We show that we care and that we're not just consumed with ourselves. We go out there. We can sow seeds. Sometimes people need to hear about Jesus many times before they make a decision. I think there was somebody had said, I don't know if it is only a legend, but it's at least a nice idea, that a person needs to hear about Jesus 14 times until they make a decision. So when you come there to their door, that's one of the time. And perhaps for some people it's the 14th time. For another person it might be the 7th time, but it's not a waste. You're still going there, you're sowing seeds, and eventually they will bear fruit. But another thing we do is we pray with people and we schedule Bible studies with people. That's the purpose. Finding Bible study interests. The second aspect of it is the personal development for yourself. To meet people with different backgrounds and cultures and life situations, this is so helpful. If we are caught up with ourselves, we will become fanatical, or we'll become extreme in one way or another. If we're just, you know, we sit here as a group and we all believe the same things almost, and then we just delve into this stuff, and then we maybe argue amongst each other about minutiae that the person on the street, that doesn't matter the least to the person on the street. So when you go knock on doors, you'll find people, you know what they are believing, and you can say with confidence, when you preach, when you teach, and all these things, you can have a greater confidence than you would ever have before, because you know what people are thinking. I do, when I do this door-to-door surveys, I find out in these places where I go that many people have a Bible in their home. But then the second question is, how often do you read the Bible? People say, very seldom. So I know a lot about the culture there, because I've been visiting the neighborhood, and I know what kind of questions they're having and what kind of spiritual condition they're in. I'll find out if they belong to a church, and I'll find out the demographics of it. And you will understand people's real needs. And then you'll develop courage. Courage to talk to strangers. That's something that's really helpful in your work as a Bible worker. There's some tips of what to do at the door. I have here some tips for how to knock on a door. Do you know how to knock on a door? Well, this is what we need to learn. So if there's no doorbell, the way to knock on a door is to knock 7 times. Okay? Because if you knock, if you just knock like this, people inside, they'll be like, what was that? Probably nothing. Or it's not necessarily that they will hear it. Or they'll be like, oh, somebody, it doesn't feel confident. And like, what somebody want? And then they open up. If you knock too many times, they'll be like angry. What do you want? When they come out. 7 times, I don't know. The Lord likes that number. I think that's a good way to do it. That's what I do. And it works very well. People come out and they'll be like, oh, so they'll come out with a smile on their face. Almost every time. If there's a buzzer, then when you ring the doorbell, you know, then you go bzz, bzz, 2 slow ones, not just one long one, because people will be like, ah, what's happening? Or if you just go bzz, then it's not good either. So just go 2 times, bzz, bzz, okay? And then if you have a doorbell, you push it slowly. So you go ding dong, not ding dong, and not ding dong. Just very good, slowly, maybe 1 to 2 seconds. Just some things that will help people, that will prepare people when they come out. If there's a melody when you push it, and there's some nice piece of melody, just listen to it and enjoy it. When you are at the door, when you rang the doorbell or when you knocked on the door, you stand close to the door. It's good to stand close to the door. And then when they open, you take a step back, because that is a non-threatening thing to do. You take a step back. If you stand back, and then when they open, you take a step forward, people will be, what do you want? Like, they'll feel threatened. So you step back. So you stand close to it, and then when they open up, you step back and you say hi. So that's important. And if you go 2 by 2, which you should do, when, you know, the Lord sent people out 2 by 2 when they were doing evangelism. And that's for moral support, for accountability, for help and safety. And if you have 2 people, then of course the person that's doing the survey, they need to stand closest to the opening. Let's say that the door opens. If I can use this one as a door, let's say that it opens this way. Then I who do the survey, I stand here and my friend stands there. Because if they stand there and you stand here, then they might only open it a little crack, you know, and then they only see that other person. And then I need to be, hey, I'm over here and I'm doing a survey. That's not good. Okay? So, something else to say. Yeah, if the people look through the little looking glass, or looking hole. What's it called in English? I don't know what the...
Keyhole.
Peephole. Peephole, yeah. If they look through the peephole, and you see that it gets dark behind the peephole, then...
It's not peep, it's peak.
Peak.
Right? Peep. 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 I think it's from pupilla, or isn't it?
I don't know. You know what I mean.
You see spy to it.
you can see there's usually a little white thing that because of the light, and when you see that it gets dark, then you know, okay, there is someone inside there. And what you do is you smile, you look straight into the hole, and then you wave at them. And then they will open. And you do the same if they look out through the window. You know, they open the curtains and they look through. Who's here? Then you just say, and you look, you put your biggest smile on and you say hi, and then they see that they've been caught, and then they'll come and open and they will ask you what it is, what you want. So, Any questions about that? Smiling is very important when you do these surveys. I'll go through the survey also with you, just so you can get an idea. How do you start? Well, you say, maybe you learned this already from your outreach coordinator, but this is what you say. You say, hi, you present yourself. I say, hi, my name is Jonathan, and this is my friend Murat, and I say that we come from AFCO. By the way, preferably don't say church, because the Adventist church or things like that, because usually when people hear, or at least many people, when they hear the word church, they have their prejudice, and they're like, no, not interested. So don't try to use the word church. If you have some other organization, like a restaurant, that's what we do where we work, or AFCO here works well. Of course, you shouldn't lie and make something up, but you know what I mean. It's if you can use another name, that's good. In Sweden, they use Lifestyle TV, and that's really nice because it doesn't work all the time. Actually, when we went on outreach with this at this time, we said we're from Lifestyle TV, and the person said, "Oh, he didn't really speak so good Swedish," and so he said, "Oh, Lifestyle TV the thing. Okay, come in," he said. And so we came in, and then he said, we told him, we're doing it's called an undersökning, it's like a test, or like, the word for survey and the word for test is basically the same thing in Swedish. So we said, we were from TV and we were doing a test or a survey. And so he said, okay, come in, and then he came, and he pointed us to the TV and said, okay, here's the TV, do your test. And we're like, oh, no, that's not what we're doing. We're asking questions. And then he was like, oh, really? No, go away from them. I don't want that. Well, that was a funny experience. But anyway, try. It's good to use some kind of other ministry's name if you can. So I say we come from AFCO, and we are doing a short community survey about faith and lifestyle. It depends on what kind of survey you have. If you have a faith and lifestyle is quite good to say. But it's important to say a short community survey. So you don't say a survey, because people don't know how much it is, but emphasize that. It's a short survey. And then you ask them. After you say, we're doing a short community survey about faith and lifestyle, could we ask a few short questions? You know, you ask them, can we ask you a few short questions? So that they actually give the consent that, yeah, you can do that. But after you ask the question, you say, can we ask a few short questions? You say, it will take 120 seconds. Don't say 2 minutes. Say 120 seconds. Because 2 minutes, you know, that's a little bit. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, and people are not interested in that. But if you say 120 seconds, it sounds like, yeah, okay, it's actually going to take 2 minutes. And so they agree with you. Then you go through the survey, and at the last question on the survey should be something to the effect of, if you had the opportunity, would you be interested to study the Bible? I usually have a question first that says, do you have a Bible at home? And then the question is, how often do you read the Bible? If you have one, how often do you read it? And then there's a question, do you understand the Bible, what you're reading? And then the question is, if you had opportunity, would you like to learn more about what the Bible says? And if a person says yes to that, then you say, great. We offer personal Bible studies, where we meet once a week for about 30 to 50 minutes and we study some interesting Bible topic. Would you be interested in that? So you ask them about that. And if they say yes, schedule a time That's your most important thing. When you do a survey, you need to schedule a time right away. Because if you just get their contact information, and then you give it to someone else, and that person calls them up and say, "Hi, so you wanted Bible studies, and when can we meet?" They will be like, "Oh no, I changed my mind," or something like that, or "Who are you and why are you?" Yeah, you know, there's another relationship connection that needs to be made between. A second time. So if you can schedule a study right away, do that. Like, find a time as soon as possible. If they say no to that first question, if you had the opportunity, "Would you like to study the Bible?" Then you basically just say, "Okay, thank you for your valuable time." And you move on. So this is not threatening. You know, we're just doing the survey. We're filling out the information. If they say no, we're not trying to say, "Well, don't you really want some? Wouldn't you?" I mean, think about it, and we start preaching at them. No, we just say thank you for your time, and we can also offer them prayer if they'd like to. And that's what I say sometimes. I say, "Okay, thank you for your valuable time. Before we leave, is there anything you would like us to pray for?" And many times when you ask that question, people open up, like they share their stories. Maybe somebody in their family has cancer, maybe something else is happening, and they feel cared for. And if they say that, if they mention something that you can pray for, you ask them, is it okay if we pray for it right now? And if you pray for them right there and then, a short, quick, personal prayer, that God will intervene and that He will help in this situation. Many, many people afterwards that I prayed with, they just touch and they just cry afterwards. So this is an excellent thing to do. And they're much more open to the Spirit's leading. Now, you see there on your sheet, if they say yes to the first question, that they are interested in to study the Bible, but they say no, if you look at that, if they say no to the second question, like, "If you would you be interested in meeting and studying the Bible together for half an hour a week?" Then if they say no, then you say this. You say, "Okay, would you prefer to join a Bible study group?" Okay? So you give them another option. You don't just say, "All right, well, goodbye." But you say, but they have shown an interest. They said they are interested to know more about the Bible. But perhaps it was that they didn't like that particular way. So what you say is, would you prefer to join a Bible study group? And if they say yes to that, then you have some kind of Bible study group pamphlet or some kind of note that you give them. You tell them that actually we meet on this address at this time and we study about this topic. So if you'd be interested, then please drop by. We would be happy to have you join it. If they say no to that, to a Bible study group, then you can just say, "Well, I see. We have another option where you can fill out a Bible study guide from your own Bible and at your own pace, and we'll stop by here next week to see how you like it. How does that sound?" So you offer them this drop-off Bible study, you know? Do we have any one of them, any drop-off studies here? In here? Oh yeah, all of them here. Yeah, that's good. So you offer them this one. That's perfect. And because we want to get in contact with them. Of course, you can skip the Bible study group option. If you don't have a Bible study group option, then you can just go on to this one. But give them something, some opportunities to study. And if they say no to that, well, maybe they were not really interested in studying the Bible. They just didn't know how to say no to the first question. But then you leave them a Bible correspondence card. Do you have that? Is there a correspondence school in Germany? Glow tracts.
Oh, you mean something like, yeah, we have something.
They might have a correspondence online.
Yeah. Okay, because the...
That's all we have here.
Is there one in Germany at all?
There is one, yeah.
There is one.
It's connected to Hope Channel.
Yeah, to Hope Channel. Yeah, something like that would be good. You could get some. Like, just hand them and say that, okay, in case you change your mind, here's something you can do through mail. And if they say yes to this drop-off study, then you need to show them how to do it, you know? So you say that, oh, well, this is how you do it. You read this, and... you don't fill out in these, is that so? You just read it.
You have questions afterwards.
Oh, there's questions afterwards. Oh, this one, yeah, okay. Right, this one. Summary sheet. Yeah, so you just show them how to do it. Like, you read this, and then you fill out these things. So it's important that you show it to them, because if you just give it to them and say, read the instructions, they won't read the instructions. So you just show them, and then they will look, and they'll see, aha, okay, so that's what we're going to do. And then you say, well, so take this, and next week I'll stop by and see how you're doing. Does it work this time to come by? And then... otherwise, you schedule a time when you can come back, when they'll be at home. Okay? Yes. Any questions about the survey?
So I think it's really good. The question thing for the Bible at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How you
good.
How you ask contact? If you take survey in the street, how you ask the part of contact?
Yeah, if they say yes to Bible studies, then of course you schedule a time. You say, what time could you meet? And then it's of course natural that, all right, so I need to know where you live so I can come by there. So can you give me your address and your phone number in case something would change? And then you give them your phone number and you get their phone number so that you can call them in case you have some problems. So that's how I do it.
I'm just try this way. I'm just asking email address.
Uh-huh.
We have a little bit different. We connecting the contact, and after if something happened, then make contact. But if I ask the telephone number or street or name, it's maybe too personal and they just took no.
Mm-hmm.
But email address is best way.
Email address, okay.
Our system, not
right. Yeah, if that works, then...
If you ask the young woman where you live,
yeah.
Then you put the address and telephone number, it's automatically no.
Right, okay. Yeah, well...
From me experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
Because email, it's...
email is not so personal. That's okay. If you put that in your contact list. But I guess the reason why you take the contact is not... is only if they have shown an interest. You don't take their contact, you know, just in general, like, by the way, can I have your address? So it's if I see that what you have on your survey is that you have other options also. Yeah.
The thing is, we have workshops. That's why we invite them for workshops, not like straight Bible study.
Right.
That's why we have the contact information and that's,
right.
The question.
Mm-hmm.
I think this way though for the Bible study will work much better than Islam.
Yeah, I think so, because this is, well, of course, what we do, I can show you this, the survey that we do in Finland, because we also use health related topics. But we start with health related topics, and then we have an option like, what would you be interested in? And they can check, and we ask them lots of different options, health options only. And then we bridge into the spiritual topic by this question. In your opinion, is faith part of a healthy lifestyle? That's how we bridge it. Because, you know, that's a very good bridge. So we talk about health, and then we ask them, in your opinion, is faith part of a healthy lifestyle? And if they say, then you have yes or no. And then you can move on, you can ask some other things like, did your family have any religious background? And do you have a Bible at home? How often do you read it? And then the last question, if you had the opportunity, would you like to study the Bible? So that would be a little more. Yeah, it's like a 10-question survey, basically. I see you have 5. If it's yes and no questions, it's no problem. I mean, some of these questions are a little bit more, take more time. Like number 3 here says, according to studies, there are 3 elements that are crucial to a person's health. Which of these areas do you need to improve? That's maybe a little personal, but still.
I've seen it so many times when you read it to people.
Yeah.
Like a lizard trying to take it in, they're like, can you repeat again?
Yeah. It's a little convoluted.
We have the question written there, but we say it differently because.
Yeah.
It's too much words.
Right.
You know, for.
No, I agree. So, I mean, it would be better to have that, to just have yes and no questions. And what you can also have is, you know, how often questions, and then you have different, or you just have a row where they can write how often. Or so it's important that it's really simple. I know at ASI, in January, I wasn't really happy with in Scandinavia. I wasn't really happy with it because they had like grades that how much is this according to you, how good is this, and they had a 1 to 5 scale that you can fill out, and I mean that's, people are just, I don't get it. So it needs to be very simple, yes and no questions, and I think at the end to ask for Bible studies is a good way to do it. But you can still have these other options, and that's what I said that we did too. Is it possible to yeah, okay.
A short question. When you do a health presentation, right? Mm-hmm. You're also invited them by a flyer. Or
yes.
Do you do that then in the church?
No.
Or do you choose let's say
the event?
The event itself,
yeah, that's a good question. We'll talk about that when we talk about the church work, but a short answer is it depends on the event.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
You can do it in church, you can do it in other places also.
I'm just thinking, yeah, because if you do send out then an invitation, you have to somehow describe the address.
Yeah,
then you say Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yeah, yeah.
And many like at the door, okay, with religions, nothing, can talk about something else. Maybe the person would come, it would not be in the church.
Right.
So
that's what we have.
Ask about the experience, what is the.
What are we doing? For example, we have a special room in the church, but it's a separate entrance.
Ah.
So we're doing it there, people get used to go there, and it's the same building, you know? But it's just, we have this Liga Lehmann Gesundheit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the health club somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the health club, perfect.
So it's a good connection.
Yeah, because you can start a health club and then you put a sign there. Or
Just
creative ideas. But that's true, that it can be a big thing to go into a church. And that's what we do in where we are. We have a restaurant. Mm-hmm. In one place there's a restaurant inside the church. And so we put the restaurant's name on all our advertisement. So come to the restaurant and have the prophecy seminars, you know?
In Romania, that would be a very bad thing, because in Romania you can't have anything to do in the church besides church.
Really?
As an idea. I tried to bring it even.
It's like it's to make the church center of influence. Mm-hmm. I think it's important.
Someone said using the church only once a week is the worst thing in the scenario.
Yeah, yeah. It's a crime.
Muslims have it open every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Let's go through some pointers. I see that time
is. Press on some buttons there, like the volume on the TV, because it will turn off in less than a minute.
Which one?
See where it, just press there on something.
Okay. Some pointers to think about in doing surveys. Pray is key. Feel your need of God, and without His guidance, of course, all is vain. We need to pray before, we need to feel the need for God, and then we need to be positive and hopeful and expect God to lead you to honest seekers. If we go with an attitude on outreach so that, oh, nobody wants to study and I'm just going to be rejected all the time, this is going to be a horrible experience, then it will actually be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it will also be a self-fulfilling prophecy if we go in faith and we believe that there are actually souls out there that God wants to lead us to. And we pray, please, Lord, lead us to a soul today that is wistfully looking to heaven. And if we do that, God will give us these people. So we need to have faith and be hopeful and positive. Go two by two for protection and moral support. Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. And I mean, going alone door to door, I talked to you here. Yeah. And it's not very positive to do that. You get so discouraged and you don't have anyone else to share your experience with. I don't think that's biblical even to do so. Of course, it's not illegal to do it, but it's just not recommended.
Well, it says, are you smarter than God?
Really?
One by one.
She says that? I didn't know.
I tried to tell that to the pastor and was like...
I didn't know that. Huh. You need to show me that quote. Mm-hmm. Anyway, smile. The job of him or her who is not doing the talking is to smile. That's the job. And pray in their hearts and just smile. Just stand there and smile. Sometimes just pray that the Holy Spirit will work and then you just, yeah, smile. Don't get sidetracked and preach at them. Respect the promised time unless they open up. You know, you do the survey and if they are not interested really, but they just answer the surveys, just go through the survey. And don't take more than 120 seconds. But if they start talking about some things, they like start sharing about some thing that has happened, then you can digress. But if they don't do that, then don't change, or don't keep to the promised time. Dress neatly and modestly. Now, that depends on culture, maybe. In America, going door to door with jeans was a total no-no. In Sweden, where I go, people are more casually dressed, so they're not so offended by that. I don't know how the culture is here, but at least dress smartly. Don't dress in bags and rags or t-shirt or, you know, we are representing Jesus, and we need to, you know, people judge you based on your clothes. It's a fact. I mean, you can say that, oh, it doesn't matter, people should just look at my heart, but they can't see your heart. So they look at you and they say, oh, this person is dressed this way, and they get a prejudice in their mind based on how you're dressed. So if you dress smart, that's good. Business casual is what they usually say. You should dress.
With this last week, when we went out, I don't know, I think it was me and Noor, mm-hmm. Then we stopped this lady, very decked out and so forth lady, and she was like measuring both of us from top to bottom.
Really?
And I saw her, and it was like me. And she was listening.
Wow.
When you're too well-dressed and they think you're a Jehovah's Witness here,
yeah.
Or a Mormon.
Yeah, Mormons, they always have, I think it's so funny, because they have this
shield, yeah.
Elder, whatever it is. And it's like, okay, that really scares people away in my mind. So we don't need to, don't go in your suit, but you know, business casual, that's the dress code. Don't have bad breath. Okay, so don't eat all the garlic right before you go out doing outreach. People will be scared. Don't be shocked. Obviously, if you meet people, sometimes we went to in America. We were knocking on a door, and there was these dogs barking, and you know, you need to have some courage to stand there. And there was this guy that opened up, and he was so upset, and he was like, "What do you want?" And we were just like, "Hi, don't be shocked, don't be shocked." We were thinking in our minds, and we're just saying, "We're doing a short community survey about faith and lifestyle." And he was like, you could see as we were talking, the steam was coming out of his ears, and he was like, "You two, get off my property now!" And so we just smiled, and we just said, "Oh, thank you for your time," and we left. Now that person had a bad day. That's happened once in my life. Okay. Most of the times, people are very friendly. So I'm sorry to scare you about this, but you know, this happens very seldom. Most of the time, people are actually open and they are they're smiling.
I can share a bad experience. Okay. I was in Romania and I started doing the survey, and this guy was like starting yelling and stuff. Not yelling, but talking badly about us Protestants.
Yeah.
In Romania, there's a big thing with Protestants and Orthodox. And my mistake was that I started arguing with him. And that turned out so badly. He started running after me. Not running, but coming after me when I was going to other homes. And he was like telling people not to talk to me. Oh, wow. Go away and all this stuff. He was like, "Yeah, don't ever argue."
And that's true. Thank you.
Is
what?
Dogs.
Talks. Yeah, that's a problem.
I had one experience, it was really scary.
Yeah.
In Estonia, I'm doing door-to-door work with my father, and then we're going in one place. There was a house and
fence. Yeah.
And then we're looking, I'm going in, and then coming really big dog, like I don't know.
Yeah.
And the dog was so crazy, but don't do nothing. I'm praying so loud, so it's very scary. And the owner of the dog said that it's amazing because the dog, if somebody is foreigner, this dog,
they bite.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean,
it's fact.
That's something. That's something you can do. I mean, I was there also once, and I saw this dog, and I tried to be nice to the dog, so I was like going towards it, and then it had a chain on it, and it started running towards me with this murder look on his face. And as I started backing up, and I was just running, and then just before it got me, the chain ended. And so I was like, whew. And then the owner came out, and then we had we did a survey anyway with them. Anyway, if you're rejected, this is important. Two more points, and we'll talk about passing out flyers another time. If you're rejected, do not take it personally. When Samuel was rejected, God said, "It is not you they have rejected, it is me they have rejected." Remember? So we are so afraid sometimes that what if someone rejects me, and oh, I feel so bad. But it is not you that they reject. It is God that they are rejecting, because we are ambassadors of God. We're doing this on His, in His name, and that's why He needs to take the responsibilities of the rejection. We're just messengers. And as I said, always schedule a time right away with Bible interests. Yeah. We will not talk about this anymore. So let's close and let's eat. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another fruitful time together, that we've been able to share things and learn things, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide us, help us to understand these things correctly, so that we can be witnesses for you, so that we can improve our social skills, we can go out and find people who are wistfully looking to heaven. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.